Well, it's great to be here. You're on your 16th birthday. Woo! So, yeah, we already knew that about you, mate. Listen, it's good to be on your 16th birthday. You now can have acne and a bad attitude because you're 16. So that's brilliant. It's been great to be part of the journey of these 16 years and see, you know, I knew you when you were nobody. I knew you back in the school and seen Ed and Michelle, and it's great to be with them. They are great friends of me and Georgina. My wife wanted to be here this morning, but somebody let us down, so she's preaching at our Bolton campus. But she's coming out for lunch with us this afternoon. Anybody wants to come, Ed's paying, you can do. And then we'll be here tonight. Can I just say, and I'm not doing this so we can get bums on seats, but this morning I'm going to teach you a little bit and we're going to look at God's word. But tonight, I just feel God wants to mess you up. I feel I've got a bit of a prophetic thing on me tonight, and I'm not sure how it's going to go, but we're just going to believe God. But if you get as messed up as I was preparing it, it's going to be mess tonight. So if you love church in order and, you know, home for 6:30, you know, and in bed for 6:45, don't come. But if you're open to God messing you up, you need to be here. What time does the service start tonight? 6 o'clock, so in Lancaster, set off early. If you're in North Preston, set off early. And if you're in Nicaragua, set off now. Because we need you here tonight. Brilliant. Excellent. Okay. Father, we pray over this time we've got over the Word of God. We just pray that you'll speak to us very, very clearly. We ask God that you open our hearts and our minds to the truth of your Word, that you may set us free. We thank you that he who the Son sets free, finish the scripture, is free indeed. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know you're 16 today and it's been a few birthdays, but I'm really old. I am 57. And now, at that moment, I wanted you to go, no. You can't be so trendy. And since I was here last time, I've become a granddad of Otterly Eliza Jean Hines, and she's absolutely beautiful. If I'd have known how much you'd love grandkids, I'd have skipped the kids bit, just gone straight to the grandkids bit, because it's great. Because I just get her, and I just play with her, and I just mess her about, and then when she goes, when it smells, I pass her back to her mum. It's fantastic. So, listen, we're going to look at the scriptures this morning, and I want you to think back when you were a kid growing up. When I was a kid growing up, toys we got for Christmas were not like Xboxes and PlayStations and Nintendo Wiis and everything. We got stuff that actually you could play with. And one of the things I used to get regularly when I was a kid was a card game called Top Trumps. Anybody remember Top Trumps? Anybody still got some Top Trumps? Anybody still play Top Trumps? Father, forgive them, for they know not. So Top Trumps is a great card game. And I remember the first set I got, and it was probably back in the late 70s, mid-70s, and I got tanks. And I used to play with my brother's a couple of years older than me, called David. And you basically get given cards each, and then you play your best hand. So if your tank can go, I'm making this up, 80 miles an hour, tank can go 80 miles an hour, and if it beats them, because theirs can only go 60 miles an hour, you top trump them, and you win the cards. Now, part of being a follower of Jesus is understanding God does not give the same weight of authority to everything. Even things that are important have a pecking order of importance. And sometimes if you're going to mature as a Christian and you're going to grow in the things of God and to all the things God has for you, you've got to realize you've got to play top trump sometimes, because that trumps that. And so this morning, what we're going to do in the 2.5 hours I've got to preach, because you're not going on for dinner, is this. I want to look at a couple of things and say, let's play top trumps and see what God thinks. Because none of the things I'm going to mention this morning is sin, but part of, you know, if it was like evil or good, well, we'd all get that, wouldn't it? Good trumps evil. But what happens when they're both good? And part of the maturity as a Christian is knowing and growing in that what is important, what trumps what in your life. So that's what we're going to do this morning for the 25 minutes that I've got left, plus 5 minutes where I spit all over you in that. So are we okay with that? Okay, so the first point I want to talk to you about this morning very quickly is this. This is on the top trumps. Character over charisma. Now listen, which are they both okay? Yeah. Is it wrong to have character? No, it's brilliant. Is it wrong to have charisma? No, it's brilliant. You can have both, and they are both good things, but in God's mind, one trumps the other. Character trumps charisma. Let me define these, and they should appear on the screen. Charisma is defined as this, a special power that some people have naturally that makes them able to influence other people and attract their attention and admiration. You know when you're around people of charisma, they walk into a room and the room goes silent. They carry something. They have an air of presence. And people that have charisma, it's not a bad thing. It's not from the devil. It's a good thing. And as long as you use it for good purposes, listen, being a charismatic person or having charisma is good. But if it comes to a game of top trumps between this thing called charisma and something called character, character is defined as this, the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. So when we're talking about character, we're talking about Christian character. In other words, Christian character is being like Jesus. It's having the morals that Jesus had. It's living our life out. So if it comes to top trumps and it's character or charisma, guess what? Character's got to win. Now, let me say this. A lot of problems in church, and particularly over the last few years in the wider church, all around the world, has been because we got this wrong. And when I don't say they got it wrong, because God's only got one church. So we've got to take ownership and say, we got it wrong. And we've got to make sure that character always trumps charisma. No matter how charismatic a person is, no matter how oratory brilliant they are, no matter how they carry themselves, or they can fit into skinny jeans, and they've got tattoos, and they've got things pierced, and they look cool, it's not enough. We need to be men and women of incredible character. Hebrews 13 verse 7 says this, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So he talks about you consider their life and imitate their faith. Now, if we get this wrong, we're in trouble. If you imitate their life and consider their faith, no, you're not to imitate their life. You to imitate their faith. Don't be like Ed. Not that anybody would want to, but don't be like Ed, but imitate his faith. Think, how did a farmer do this? How did a farmer build a church in Nicaragua that's coming to the meeting tonight? So, top trumps, charisma. Play the trump card. Character. The mental, emotional fortitude to do the right things at the right moment. You know, all these top trumps are all over the New Testament. In the book of Corinthians, we haven't got time to go into it, but in Corinthians 3, the church is in crisis because some are saying, well, I follow Paul because he's charismatic. And some are saying, I follow Apollos. And some are really spiritual, saying, well, I just follow Jesus. You met those kind of annoying people, haven't you? Well, listen, we've got to be careful of who we are following and what we are following. So I would much rather follow people of character than people of charisma. Even though charisma is not wrong. Let me give you a couple of biblical references. We haven't got time to turn to it, but in 1 Samuel chapter 9, the Bible says a man named Saul. He says this, this is what the Bible, this is not what his mum says about him. This is what the Bible says about Saul. He was head and shoulders above every other man in his day without equal in the whole of Israel. I mean, he was a dude. He was captain of the football team. He went out with all the pretty girls. He kind of, you know, he had a nice car. He had nice clothes. I mean, Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else in the whole of Israel. That's the start of his life. God had incredible things planned for him. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 22. All these incredible things. And then a few chapters later, he's committed suicide fighting a battle he should have never even been at. He dies on the side of Mount Gilboa fighting a battle that God never asked him to be at. What went wrong from the start of head and shoulders above every other man of his day to committing suicide? What went wrong? It wasn't charisma, it was character. Because when push comes to shove in your life, it will be your character that keeps you, not your charisma. Your character. You see, Saul consulted a witch. He was a liar. He was a cheat. He was immoral. He did what was right when it suited him. That's not character. So we've got to be people. You might say, okay, that's a one-off, Pastor Derek. Well, we could talk about Samson. Let me tell you, this is what the Bible says, not his mum. This is what the Bible says about Samson in Judges 13. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to her, his mother, and said, you are barren and childless. Wow, thanks for that. But you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that no drink or wine or other fermented things that you give him or anything unclean to eat. And then it goes on, because he's going to be a Nazarite, he's going to be a leader of his people. God has great things for him. Now, Samson, what a great thing. Before he's even born, his mum's got his remnant of what he's going to produce. But what happened with Samson? Why? So you know the story. You see, what went wrong? It wasn't his charisma. It was his character. There's a lot of young people in here this morning, and Ed, and joking. Listen, when it's Saturday night and it's 11 o'clock, and you're babysitting, and they're not home for another hour, and the movie's finished, and you're sat on the settee, it's not charisma that's going to keep you out of trouble. It's character. There's a few older people in it when it comes to filling your tax bill in. Who likes paying tax? Nobody. And you know, you could fill it in and you could tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, or you know, yeah. What wins the day? Because charisma can send you to prison. Character. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Give unto God what is God's. I hate paying tax. But you got to do it. Why? Because you're a man or woman of character. And there comes moments in your life that will define you of whether charisma or character wins in your life. Number two. Still on top trumps. Faithfulness over fruitfulness. Faithfulness. Now listen, which person in here doesn't want to be fruitful? Answer, nobody. They're all in Nicaragua. Who? We want to be fruitful. This church wants to be fruitful. We want to grow. We want to be fruitful. Your life wants to be fruitful. You want to create great things through your life. John 15 verse 8 says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so fruit is one of the signs of who you are following. The Bible says this, by their fruits, you will know them. Fruit is important. But what happens in times in your life when you're not fruitful? Let me tell you the difference between maturity and immaturity as a Christian. Immaturity looks like this. I am faithful while I am fruitful. When everything's going well, oh, I'll jump in worship, I'll tithe, I'll give, I'll serve, I'll come early, I'll do all that stuff because I can see what my faithfulness is producing because I can see my fruitfulness. Let me tell you, members of the jury, God will allow times in your life where there is no fruit or not that you can see. And the test would be during those times where you can't see fruitfulness, will you remain faithful? Because it's great testimonies. I started tithing and I got a tax rebate of 50 grand. Roar, hallelujah. But what happens for the rest of the people in the room who that didn't happen for? You tithe and you got a parking ticket. Immaturity says, it doesn't work, I'm trying buddhism. Faithfulness says, I don't need to see the fruit all the time. I'm doing this because faithfulness trumps fruitfulness. Now, we believe in fruitfulness, and we want you to be fruitful, and the Bible wants you to be fruitful. But let me tell you this, look at me, look into my eyes, not around my head, look into my eyes. God, not the devil, God, Jehovah will allow times in your life where you don't feel fruitful at all. Because it's a test to see in those times, will you remain faithful? When you can't see it working. I remember the early days of Kings. I wish I could say, oh, well, you know, King's Church, we started it. The Holy Spirit moved. Ooh. And me and my wife floated into church. Thousands were saved. It was dreadful. We'd go to church on a Sunday morning and there'd be 25 people in the early days and my stomach would be churning up as I'm pulling in the car park thinking, God, please, please send somebody. I don't care who they are, just send somebody. And it felt like the first couple of years of Kings that I was giving it all, but I couldn't see much fruit. A couple of my friends during those, friends, Sam Ballant and Tobias, during those years said to me, Derek, why are you messing around with 25 people in a little coffee shop in Bolton? Get to America. Your ministry will go down a bomb. You'll have thousands and you'll get a salary. Because I'm working full time in a school, doing church in the evenings and at weekends, and it didn't look like it was working. And then all questions. You start to ask yourself, one guy came to see me. He said, Pastor Derek, we're following you, but it's not working, is it? I said, Georgina, you married me. You're going nowhere. You stuck. I remember this. This is a bit cathartic, a bit therapy. We were about a year and a half into Kings. And this lady came to see me. She said, I want you to know, Pastor Derek, I'm leaving. I'm leaving because I can't see fruit. Your ministry is not producing fruit, and I'm leaving. What she didn't know is I wanted to say, can I come with you? Because I wanted to leave as well. Because God will allow times where you can't see to test if you meant it. If you meant it. Well, 17 years later, because we're a little bit older than you. We're like your big brother. We bully you. All that we're seeing as part of what Kings is doing is because I didn't give up. And the people around me didn't give up when we couldn't see much fruit. Because it's got to be in your life, faithfulness trumps fruitfulness. You may be in a marriage, you don't feel very fruitful. And the lady down the road looks very fruitful. You may be a man in here and home life is all nappies and stress and mortgages and you go to work and all the women at work smell like Estee Lauder and they're all made up and they're beautiful and they all look great. Faithfulness. Let me tell you what's a big deal to God. Faithfulness. And if you can't prove it when nobody's watching, that you will remain faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to your promises, faithful to your church, faithful to your spouse, faithful to your word, faithful with your finances. If you will remain faithful, ultimately, the promise is this, you will be fruitful. You will be. You're not going to live the whole of your life faithful and not see fruit. But fruit comes in seasons. It doesn't come lovely, naturally, all in one go. You'll have seasons where you feel very fruitful, and you'll have seasons where you feel like jacking it in. It's pretty normal. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said this, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So your job is this. Plant the seed, water it, and then butt out. Butt out. You've done the faithful bit. God does the fruitful bit. If your kids are away from God, don't nag them. Don't nag them. If you're going through, don't try and fix it. Don't try and fix it. Just remain faithful. And let God make you fruitful. God's job is fruitfulness. Your job, my job, is faithfulness. I'll tell you this story, do the last point. There's a, just at the outbreak of the World War II, might have been World War I, one of the big world wars, there was a little boy in Shrewsbury, just outside Shrewsbury. He went to a Baptist church. He was about 15, went to a Baptist church, went to a Sunday school group, didn't want to really go. And he was an oik. He always made daft noises. He annoyed his Sunday school teacher. He was a real pain in the backside. Really, really difficult. And so eventually he got to 16 and he left the Sunday school. And his Sunday school teacher, a lady, an older lady, had told him all his life that God loved him. God had a plan for him. God wanted to save him. God wanted to heal him. But he was like, yeah, whatever. That's not for me. Give me a break. And then he left. About the time he left, or a couple of years after he left the church, the war broke out. I can't remember. I think it was World War I. Yeah, I think it was. And he got conscripted to go and fight. So he got over to France. He was in the local, I think it was the Warwickshire Fusiliers or something like that. And he's on the front line fighting in France. And a bullet went right through his neck. He fell face down in the mud. And he's pumping with blood, knowing the medics are not going to get to him. Did he die of blood loss or did he drown in the mud? And as he tried to turn his body over so he could breathe, he thought about his Sunday school teacher. And in the mud in France, never believing he would ever see life again, he said, Jesus, save me. It's a bit like a thief on the cross. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And then he closed his eyes and he woke up 3 months later in a hospital in Southampton. Bullet had been removed from his neck, body, really battered, so he was discharged from the army. He got a train back up to the village. As he got to the village, he got out the train and he's walking back up to where his house was, and the church is there, only a small village. And as he's walking up the road, a funeral cortege passed. So he took his helmet off and he put it under his arm. The funeral cortege went past. He went home. He said, who's the funeral? And it was his Sunday school teacher. So he left his home and he walked down to the church and he sat at the back of the church, and at the end of the service he came forward and said to the vicar, what did she die of? And she had some ailment and everything. But this is what the vicar said to him. One of the reasons I think she died of a broken heart, because she's done Sunday school work for 25 years and never saw anybody come to faith. See, that lady didn't know that what she said in faithfulness, in France, a man remembered. You have no idea. No, I'm getting, whoa. You have no idea. Don't even look at me like that. Don't you look at me. You in Lancaster. Think you're cocky because you're a bit wealthy. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm from Bolton, right? Rad. Get here tonight, I'll show you. You have no idea what God does with your words. You have no idea. You have no idea. You have no idea what this last 16 years has produced, because it's not just in here what it's produced. All over the place, God has done incredible things. And thirdly and finally, because time is going, last top trumps is passion over preference. Passion over preference. You know, I don't know about Ed and Michelle, but pastoring people, it's hard work, isn't it? They do me head in. Not you, you're all perfect, but in Bolton, they do me head in. Salford, they're even worse. Blackpool is like Sodom and Gomorrah. So it's incredibly challenging with people, because people think their preference is truth. Well, I like it loud. Well, I like it quiet. Well, I like it jumpy. I like to sit. I like to shout and declare. I like to close my eyes and meditate. I like church with stained glass windows. I like church that's all blacked out. What's really funny in our journey, all our churches are a bit like yours, blacked out with drapes, and then we got the Blackpool building and we've got stained glass windows. And so our young people said, shall we black them all out with drapes? I said, no, you'll go to hell. We're just blocking Jesus out on the cross. And so we've got a bit of both. We're schizophrenic. How long should a service last? How should we preach? Well, I like teaching. Well, I like more motivational stuff. Well, I like... We've all got our likes and our preferences. Listen, the preferences. Just preference. It's like if I said, where do you want to go out for dinner? We'd all have a preference. They all serve food, but you go where you like it. Now, I'm an expensive... I like to go to Millicata. I want a steak. Don't take me anywhere veggie. That's demonic. I want meat. If it hasn't lived, I don't eat it. So, I've just offended everybody, haven't I? Sorry, I was only... So we've got to realise that some things are just a preference. Well, that's how I like it. A lady came to me years ago in Kings, and she said to me, and I'm on the door on the way, she said, I didn't like the worship this morning. I said, it's okay. We weren't worshipping you. It's preference. So what can we be passionate about? Well, final scripture is this. John 2, 16 to 18 says this. This is Jesus in the temple. It says, to those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. Finish with this. Jesus is annoyed. Now, some of you can't picture Jesus annoyed, but he's annoyed. He's gone to the temple and it's a car boot sale. So he goes in, and I want you to picture Jesus like you've never pictured him before. He goes in and he's like a ninja. He's kicking over tables. He's screaming at people. I don't think he went in and said, excuse me, everybody, I've done a risk assessment. I'm just going to kick this table over. Could you all just stand back, please? So you don't get any pottery in your flip-flop. Because that's what your Jesus would have done. Because he's too nice. But Jesus goes in and says, oh, I'm having none of it. Starts kicking over tables. The Bible even says he made a whip. Well, what was that for? What did you make a whip for? Oh, for decoration for his house on wall. No, he made a whip. Because he was going to whip people. Well, Jesus would never do that, would he? No. Read your Bible. So Jesus goes into the temple with a whip and he is ticked off, kicking over tables, and he's screaming at people. And the disciples are freaked out, thinking, whoa! We preferred him when he had a little lamb in a field and he was saying, suffer the little children to come unto me. But this Jesus has become a ninja. He's kicking over tables. And there's people in the temple. They're all going mad. This can't be the Son of God. They're all on the phones going, oh, look at Jesus, what he's doing. Hashtag toxic church. The real Jesus wouldn't do this, would he not? You got to know, if you know Jesus, you'll know what he's passionate about. Oh. So he kicked, and then the disciples were all going, whoa, freaking out. Then the Bible says they remembered this. They remembered what it said in the Old Testament. That zeal for your house will consume me. You can have all your kind of preferences you want over Valley Church. Listen, I'm not your pastor. I don't care. As long as the zeal for your house is consuming. Well, I don't like that song. Well, nobody asks you. Well, who cares? If the presence of God is here, if people are coming to faith, if we're doing stuff together, who cares about our preference? I don't like the coffee. Ed, I don't like Ed. I don't like Michelle. Can't not like Michelle. She's like nearly perfect. She's like Mary Poppins. Yeah, but I don't like this, like that. And I don't like the keyboard player. Should have a shave. Now he's 40. Tomorrow. And I don't like that guy you keep bringing in from Bolton that shouts at us with a daft accent. And who does he think he is with a bun in his head at 57? Stop bringing him in, Ed. Bring somebody that can preach decently in order. Get a good independent Methodist. Zeal for your house is consuming. That word zeal means eating up, burning up, and consuming. Passion for God is worked out in passion for God's house. And I'm so grateful, 16 years of building God's house. Well done, guys. Well, might say a bit more about that tonight, but well done, guys. 16 years of faithfulness that is now producing fruitfulness. Now, I know, Ed, it's not producing fruit quick enough for Ed. But I'm a senior pastor too, and I know what that feels like. We're like, more! We're like, got the Oliver Twist anointing. Please, God, can I have some more? While it's coming, just remain faithful. Just don't strive. Just keep getting up, preaching the gospel. Let God do the increase. I get stats on a Tuesday morning of who's in church and who's not. I sat down the other day and came in. It was a bit of a low Sunday. I said, God, it's your fault. Don't blame me. I did the faithfulness bit. Fruitfulness, up to you. God, the vision offering, we got this. God, I did my bit. Rest is up to you. Because this is your church. And I'm a custodian in your house. This is not my house. So I'm going to finish by praying and just over Valley on our three campuses and Nicaragua. For God to just bless us. Faithfulness over fruitfulness. Passion over preference. Character over charisma. Father, thank you for these beautiful people, both online and in the room. We thank you, God, for the game of top trumps. And we want to always put the right emphasis on what you put the right emphasis on. Thank you for 16 years of character, of faithfulness, and of passion. Thank you, God, for everything that you are doing, seen and unseen. And we pray today as we mark this in the calendar, that April 2023, as we mark 16 years, we thank you, God, that there's so much more in our future. That this has just been 16 years of sowing seeds for a bigger, better future. So, Father, we just pray right now and thank you for each other. Thank you for everything that you have done. Thank you for everything that you are doing. And we just pray that you, Holy Spirit, will touch hearts and lives. God, as we gather tonight, I pray that you will mess up Valley for this next season. That you will just speak so clearly, Lord, to us tonight. Not just to our heads, but to our hearts. That we would be internally revolutionized and changed. Refresh us today, God, we pray. Refresh us where there's weariness and tiredness, where there's fatigue, where there's been just life has got on top of us. God, may we breathe the air of heaven today, and may we be refreshed by your word, because we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.